Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The first reading from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. You will be like a watered spring, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride up upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 103 responsibly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all our sins.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses, and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Hey, how are you doing? Look at that pretty, she's a bent over woman.
Hey guys, what's up?
My shoes.
Why won't you talk to our faces?
Why are you talking to the ground? That's really weird.
Woman, I free you from your illness.
Thank you! Praise the Lord!
Hey,
created this world as perfect, harmonious, everything working together and in its place, everything operating as it should. And then God took a seventh day, a period of time, just to revel in the perfect order of the creation that he had made. God wants us to observe the Sabbath, to remember a time when everything worked as it should, because that was how it was made. Because God doesn't make junk. But most of us can recognize that this is not how the world is today. Not how the world is right now. It's not perfect. This woman, known only in the town as the bent-over woman, the cripple, she knew that well. She knew what it meant not to be whole, what it meant to exist labeled as an outcast. My friend Morgan and I often used to ponder what our one-sentence summary was, what people said about you when they were describing you to someone else. You know, so-and-so, she's the tall blonde with great shoes, or the short soccer player, or you know, the really, really smiley one, that kind of funny chubby kid. What do people say about you when they're summarizing you? The youth especially live in this world, a world that is labeled the semi-nerds, water polo players, the academically girl, stoner, the ditzy cheerleader, the band geeks. This is how everyone knows you. They don't take time to look past that outer shell. This woman was always just the bent over woman, the cripple, the less than, confident the town knew very little else about her. But when Jesus addressed this woman, he gave her a new label, daughter of Abraham, a Jew, just like everyone else. Abraham was the one whom God had made a promise to. God had blessed Abraham in order to be a blessing to the whole world. And Jesus, by calling her this name, affirms her inheritance of these blessings. Someone who fit in with everyone else. She was no longer just the cripple or the outcast. She's restored in body and spirit to the community of faith that she has longed to be a part of. But just as she thinks she's in the clear, she's got it made, she's finally made that transition to the cool group, the Jewish community. The Pharisees speak of what happened to her still as controversy, still as outside of orthodoxy. How dare she be healed on the Sabbath? Jews had very strict rules about Sabbath observance. They took the commandment not to work on the Sabbath very literally. And they spent years coming up with rabbinical definitions of what exactly that meant. So against the law to work, to walk a certain number of steps on the Sabbath. So I'd walk that certain number of steps, take a little rest, and then walk that certain number of steps again. They'd forgotten. They'd missed the point. The Sabbath to them had become thou shalt not. Thou shalt not walk more than 1,000 steps at a time. Okay. But that's not just what Sabbath is. Sabbath is about thou shalt take a time to remember the beauty and perfection of creation, to remember the wholeness and peace that God intended for us. Liz Harris, a Jewish woman, went to visit a very Orthodox family in New York City and reflected about her experience in her book, Holy Days. She comments, what happens when we stop working and controlling nature, when we don't operate machines, pick flowers, pluck fish from the sea? When we cease interfering in the world, we are acknowledging that it is God's world. Lauren Winner, in her book Mudhouse Sabbath, comments that there's something in the Jewish Sabbath that is absent from most Christian Sundays, a true cessation from the rhythms of work and the world, a time wholly set apart, and above all else, a sense that the point of Shabbat, or Sabbath, the orientation of it is towards God. As Christians, the closest we often get to having a Sabbath looks something more like a day at the spa, because that's what society tells us we need. Treat yourself to something nice. What if, like our religious predecessors, we understood rest and peace as something that derives from God, rather than mud masks and massages? That God intended for us to be whole in body and spirit, as he first created us. And that is why we are commanded to take a Sabbath, to rest, to remember him. By healing this woman on the Sabbath, Jesus restores her body to the way God intended for bodies to work. He restored her spirit, and he called her a new name. He called her an heir to blessings, and a member of the community. Jesus' actions on the Sabbath are not violating what God has intended for Sabbath to be, but rather is the fulfillment of Sabbath, the perfection of creation and the rest and the peace which we can bask in when we remember this. Because of Christ's resurrection, the hope and the rest of Sabbath should be something that we experience every day, within the peace of our hearts. But most of us feel more like, gosh, I met my senior year of high school through some mutual friends, seemingly perfect on the outside. He's a good-looking fellow, he swam, he ran marathons, he was in smart classes, and just the nicest Christian guy. As we attended youth group together, I got to know him better and learned that Josh used to be a chubby kid. In fact, his parents and friend who had known him back in the day sometimes used to tease him about it. He smiled on the outside, but secretly cringed every time they did so. He was obsessed with what he ate. He would spend hours running every day. Running, after all, was his savior. It had saved him from that physical appearance that he was so ashamed of. But he still loved his life in the shadow of being the chubby kid. That label still controlled him. What if he had allowed God to give him a new name? Blessed Child. What if he had found his worth, his belonging, his rest in God, and the new creation that we are offered through Christ's resurrection, rather than in health magazines and famed runner Steve Prefontaine? What if he had reacted to God's offer of grace like the bent-over woman who had straightened up and praised God? God has promised all of us to restore our broken spirits, to give us a Sabbath, to take away our labels, and give us a new name. God promises to heal us from the things that have kept us on the outside and from the inner turmoil of being on the outside. We are welcome into God's family, young, old, rich, poor. Christ calls all of us children of Abraham, children of God. Let us take the time to remember, to revel in the hope that we have been given, the healing through the resurrection. Let us celebrate this time of peace and rest and be a reflection of Sabbath, giving God's restoration and hope to a broken world. Amen.